And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I'm sure you were as shocked as I was to learn that the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated the highest rung of the Federalist Society.
Yeah, well, I guess it's every Communist Party infiltration. Well, although it's no longer, he's no longer in the Federalist Society, but we're going back to when he was, and we're referring to the gentleman, I'll use the term, I guess, loosely, named Leonard Leo. Leonard Leo, I think, makes my list of the those on a monument, you know, who have done the most to, I was going to say screw up America, but really damage America over the last 40, 50 years. I mean, you have the Koch brothers, you have Rupert Murdoch, you have Rush Limbaugh, but really behind the scenes, you've had this guy, Leonard Leo, who is a religiously right-wing inspired fellow who ran, who was able to raise money to run one of these groups called the Federalist Society, which started out as somewhat of a debate society for conservative law students and morphed fairly quickly into a right-wing, ultra-right-wing ideological movement that has pushed ultra-conservative theories of the Constitution and law and worked to promote the whole host of the of judges, the federal judiciary at every level, highly successfully, culminating in Donald Trump's three Supreme Court picks.
Well, when Trump ran for president first time, didn't he pledge that he would only nominate judges that the Federalist Society approved of?
Yes, he said that. Now, of course, the Democrats. Biden took flak saying that how dare he say he would appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court? I mean, isn't that being limited? But no one ever, but the same people wouldn't criticize Donald Trump for saying, I'm only going to limit the lawyers that I appoint or the judges I appoint from the Federalist Society. Now, what you were referring to was the fact that this week, Donald Trump decided to attack Leonard Leo. And the judges, some of the judges he appointed, because at least one of the judges ruled against them in a three-judge panel on the tariff issue. And as a matter of fact, Donald Trump has been losing case after case after case in the judiciary, including in front of Trump-appointed judges, just as he lost a number of cases over the 2020 election, including in front of Trump-appointed judges. Donald Trump's thought process is that if I've appointed them, I own them. They must rule for me. They're my judges. They're not independent-minded judges. And now he's criticizing Leonard Leo because these judges have exercised their judicial independence. But you will remember, though, that Leonard Leo, having done this damage to the judiciary, has moved on. He was able to induce some billionaire, I can't remember his name, to give him, what was it, $1.5 billion to do for the conservative movement, what he's done for the courts. Am I?
Yeah, $1.6 billion.
$1.6 billion, yeah. And what's a tenth of a billion here and a tenth of a billion there?
Right.
You remember Everett Dirksen?
Right.
A billion here and a billion there, and you're talking real money.
Right. Right.
But
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
But that was Trumpism. Trump thinks he owns everybody.
And he called Leonard Leo a sleazebag. He says hates America. Quite astounding.
Yeah, but it won't stop Leonard Leo. They know what they're dealing with Donald Trump. And tomorrow he might be praising him. But, and this is also Trump's method of trying to intimidate the courts or the judges towards his way of thinking. You know, don't you rule against me again, you know, type of things or whatever.
Stephen Miller said yesterday or 2 days ago that we're witnessing a judicial coup because the courts are ruling against Trump, the latest ruling being the one that said that his tariffs were illegal. He didn't have the authority to impose the tariffs. That's a judicial coup.
Right. Of course, when they use the courts and get a ruling favorable to them, that's fine.
Yeah.
But their thinking is only we can win. It's heads we win, tails you lose.
Well, how about the Trump pardons? I mean, have you ever seen a sleazier bunch of people pardoned in your whole life?
It's like the standard for getting a pardon from Donald Trump is not justice or whatever. It's, like you said, how sleazy have you been?
Yeah.
How corrupt have you been? Donald Trump, this is Ruth Ben-Ghiat would be talking about as normalizing corruption.
That's right.
Yeah. If you were corrupt in a manner that I will be corrupt or in a manner that helped me being corrupt, I will pardon you.
Or if you're a friend of somebody who helped me and asked or she asked me to pardon you, I will pardon you.
Yeah. Remember the heat that Bill Clinton took at the end when he pardoned Mark
Rich.
Mark Rich, yeah, because one of his donors had, apparently carried water for Mark Rich. And it was rightful that he did take flack for that. But where are the people that gave him flack now with Trump? And this is the thing. Clinton parted the one guy that was controversial. Trump does it as a matter of course now almost every week. And nobody bats an eye.
And it's real sleaze stuff. It's stealing from food stamps, not paying your taxes, fraud against investors.
That's what Trump
on and on. On and on.
Well, that's Trump. I don't want to pay taxes. I don't... You know, I want to cheat investors.
Right.
Like that. So, like I said, it's normalizing his behavior. What's wrong with that? You know, that cartoon that they have where they have Richard Nixon on one side saying, I am not a crook. And on the other side, they have Donald Trump saying, I'm a crook. So what?
So what? Right. Exactly. God. God, what it's come to.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The pardon power in the Constitution for the president is pretty absolute. There's no review of it. And once Donald Trump found that out, this is also not just normalizing corruption, but it's him showing what he believes to be power. That he's the, you know, he's the king, so to speak, and nobody can do anything about it. That's where.
But guess what? He's proving that he's right.
Yeah, he is right. And the question is, you know, somewhere down the line, where are we going to go from there? What's the next president going to do?
The next president?
Well, eventually.
Well, maybe we won't have to worry about the next president.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the big question will be if Donald Trump will ever pardon himself. That'll be a test.
Why does he have to? He's already gotten a ruling that says he can't be convicted of anything.
Yeah.
What would he be pardoning himself for?
Go for it. shooting someone on Fifth Avenue.
Well, if he could claim it was an official act, and therefore he
official
can't be,
act. Yeah, that's it.
So then you get Musk, who's maybe leaving, may not be leaving. Who knows if he's leaving? It turns out that Musk took so many drugs while he was working for the government that if it were you or me, we would be in jail instantly. Instantly. The guy traveled with a drugstore.
Yeah, well, there aren't enough hours in the day. You got to stay awake and alert 25 hours or 26 hours a day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just amazing. The absolute immorality of this guy Musk on every level.
And people are defending him. Irrespective of how he's done or how he's acted, they look past all of the ways he's broken proper procedures and things like that, and the people that he's harmed, and the times that he's been slapped down by the courts in certain things. And as long as he's protecting the wealthy and not raising taxes on them, they're willing to go along with it. Remember, the analyses of how much he actually saved the government have come out and found out that he really probably hasn't saved anything. He may have cost the government money.
I think that when institutions that study this thing study how much it cost to implement what he demanded be implemented, he's cost the government tens of billions of dollars. He claimed he was going to save $2 trillion. He ends up claiming that he actually saved $165 billion. I'm sorry, $135 billion. The institutions that have studied what it cost to implement those cost savings say that it cost $165 billion. So in other words, he's $35 billion in the hole on his cost saving. But in the meanwhile, he's destroyed American scientific research. He's wiped out every kind of program that benefits working people. They've invented a way to get rid of programs without actually getting rid of the program by firing everybody who runs the program. So the program exists. Whether or not the money is going to be there to fund it is in question. But even if the money is there to fund it, there's nobody to spend the money. They've been fired. And that's what he did.
But he's also attacked and taken out the people who can review that sort of stuff or accountability.
Right.
Remember, well, Trump took care of getting rid of the inspectors general, but Musk went into all the areas where he's funded by the government, and boy, oh boy, are there a lot of areas. I mean, he's, I think, the biggest beneficiary or the person most dependent on government financing in the United States. There'll be no reviews of how he gets his money or spends his money or whatever.
Well, who would review it? Who could review it?
Right.
He got rid of it. Like you say, he got rid of it. Even if they wanted to, which of course they don't. Nobody in the administration wants to. But even if they wanted to, there's nobody to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to something else that shows that it's not just Trump. There's a whole movement behind Trump that Trump may not even know about, but it's nonetheless part of his movement. And one of the most dangerous legal decisions that I've come across in a long time came down this last week in a case out of Texas where a Texas library board removed 17 books from the public library. Books like The History of the Ku Klux Klan, The History of Lynching, those were taken out of the library. So a bunch of readers of the library sued the library and said, you don't have the right to, this is censorship of content, and that's illegal, that's against the First Amendment. And they took it to court, and they won. So the library board appealed. And the appellate court said, no, you're not allowed to do this. It violates the Constitution. So they appealed it to the Fifth Circuit Court, the most reactionary of the federal appellate courts. And all of the justices, 17, sat in on the case, on bank it's called, everybody takes, and they issued their decision this week on the 25th, and they ruled that the library has the right, the government has the right to remove any book it wishes for any reason it wishes. If it doesn't agree with what's in the book, they have the right, the government, to take the book off the shelves. You want to read the book? Borrow it from a friend or buy it. That was the decision. Now, how about that?
Oh, this turned, this is what we were living in Trump world. This turns the First Amendment upside down. It's not the people that have the right to learn or to find out information. It's the government who has the right to censor what you can learn or limit what you can get information from.
That's right. Well, all of this stems from interesting legal theory that Samuel Alito invented some years ago, which is called government speech, the right of government speech. The government, says Alito, has the right to speak. When it makes a decision, that's government speech. And you can't challenge that. The Constitution can't challenge that. That's beyond First Amendment purview. That's beyond judicial review. And this purging of books from libraries is government speech. And they can do it. And it flows directly from the same kind of thinking that says corporations are people, Citizens United. They have free speech rights. But you don't. You don't. It stands, as you say, it puts the First Amendment on its head. And it shows you it. You say, well, we're a nation of, I was taught, we're a nation of laws, not men. We may be a nation of laws, but if you have the wrong people involved in running the interpreting the laws and enforcing the laws don't count. Free speech doesn't count. If powerful people don't want it to count. The First Amendment only works when there's no real question about it. But when there is a dispute and there are rotten people in authority, there is no First Amendment. You will remember that the abolitionists were forbidden from using the post office to mail abolitionist literature in the 1840s and the 1850s. That when Gene Debs made a speech attacking the First World War, he was arrested by the Wilson government and sent to jail for 10 years in a federal penitentiary for that speech, attacking the United States' participation in the First World War. You can talk all you want about the First Amendment. It's just paper. It's just words on paper, unless there's a social force behind it ready to enforce it.
Yeah. You know, the first three words of the Constitution are we the people, not we the government.
I know. But how do you enforce it?
Well, that's when you have the wrong people in government and the wrong people being planted into, you know, this is called capture, government capture. They've done this with government agencies that were meant to regulate bad behaviors or dangerous behaviors. And now they're extending this beyond agencies to the entire powers of the government. And this fits in also with the idea of a unitary executive on that only the government, only the president or only the executive branch has the power. Because that is, in fact, the part of the government that can do things. The judiciary can't do things. They don't have an enforcement arm. By the way, when we talk about enforcement arms, I was interviewed this week by Chris Kelly of the Scranton Times. He actually, you know, gave me a call and said, I need some constitutional backup here. We're writing a column about that big, beautiful bill where they inserted a part of it that effectively restricts judicial review of certain matters and conduct. And it was an you know, guys like Chris Kelly are out there writing and informing people. And, you know, there are people out there who understand what's happening. But they're very frustrated because they don't have the power to do much about it. The day the column came out, I happened to have been in an office, someone else's office, and one of the partners saw me come in and saw me in the conference room and went out of his way to stick his head in and said, thank you for saying what needed to be said in Chris Kelly's column. The people do get this, or a lot of the people get this, but there's that MAGA group that really doesn't care. They don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. They only care about power and sticking it to other people. But as they find out, what's happening is they're really sticking it to themselves.
Well, not all of them. Some of them really benefit.
Well, yeah, some of them benefit, but not, you know, the people who are getting, who find out like that they run a restaurant, they find out that they don't have kitchen help anymore, or the farmers who don't have people to pick their crops are finding out what the real cost of this is. You know, we had that incident not far from you up in Wayne County this week where ICE did a raid on a restaurant. Shut the place down.
In Honesdale, right.
Yeah, they shut the place down. They took three of the workers out who the people who run the restaurant said we believe they were here legally. And
by the way, that's happened to this same restaurant before by ICE. They raided the restaurant. They arrested somebody that they claimed was there illegally. And in that situation, the guy who got kidnapped, really, was able to demonstrate he was in the country legally, he was working legally, and they did release him. But, of course, that was before Trump organized this comprehensive illegal kidnapping operation, which he's having trouble doing, because he can't kidnap as many people as he wants to.
You know, this goes back to a couple of things. One, the Trump idea that you never ask for permission, and now you don't even ask for forgiveness. You just do something, and if you're wrong, it's, well, so what? You know,
exactly.
Try to undo it. You know, we've got people
Christy Noem said, suck it up.
Yeah. If you're in detention for a couple of weeks and then they release you, so what? You lost 2 weeks of your life in detention.
Right.
But it's also, going back to Elon Musk, you have that tech bros idea of, you know, break things. You know, we're going to break things, but they don't understand that by breaking things, you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty sometimes. You can't put all the king's horses and all the king's men, can't put Humpty back together again. There are things that are permanently broken. And, I mean, look what's happening with them taking away people's visas, or not issuing visas for foreign students, and all that research and all that brain power that's going away. It's migrating to Europe. It's migrating to other places. And, you know, our enemies couldn't be happier about this. This is, you know, the idea that we can be isolated from the world and only our people can, you know, we'll do everything for ourselves. It's just, you know, it's nonsense.
It is nonsense. And it's contrary to the way the world works.
Yeah.
Stupid people. They themselves don't think that they'll be affected, and they may not be affected, because after all, they can always go off to an island here or a yacht there, or buy whatever it is they want and have it shipped in. And if it costs three times what it used to cost, what's the difference? They're making $10 million a day.
Well, they think, well, if I'm stupid, I don't want anybody else to be smart. I don't want anybody to outthink me or out everything. So I'm going to make them stupid too, or I'm going to remove them. So I'm just, you know, I'm the king of the hill type of thinking. Now, on the other hand, we've got the people on the ultra left that haven't done things the right way either. I was reading this week something about out in San Francisco, where else, the school board is lowering the standards, that now passing will be 41. It used to be 61. When you and I went to school, passing were used to be 70%. But no, we can't have students failing things. Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the learning experience.
Well, why is that left wing? Why do the people who do that, why do you call them left wing?
Well, because that's their politics out there. Now, you'd probably get the same thing on the right too, in some rural areas. But these are the folks out in San Francisco that are saying it makes people feel bad. It hurts their feelings that if they flunk a course. Well, I mean, you don't get expertise by people who are failing getting rewarded. That just gives fodder for the right wing to do what they want to do.
I don't think that's left wing. I think that's stupid.
Well,
stupidity cuts across left and right.
But it's being enforced by that group in San Francisco, the same ones that wanted to take down the statues of Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Grant, all that stuff. That extreme agendas that aren't really practical. But it's so far worse, under Trumpism. And,
by the way, speaking of contradictory things, you saw that Kennedy announced that there was no longer going to be a recommendation that kids and older people should take the COVID vaccination, right?
Right. And the CDC disagreed.
But then the CDC recommended that they should. But he runs the CDC. What the hell's going on with these people?
Well, those people will soon be gone. But the other thing that...
But they're scientists. You see, the difference is the people who wrote it and said they should take the vaccine know what they're talking about.
Yeah. But we had that incident this week, from the Kennedy group, the Make America Healthy Again, which, by the way, is a perfectly valid thing to do. And some of the ideas about, having people have better food or things like that are fine. But they came out with a report this week, and turns out that the report had seven citations in it that when people looked up the citations, either they couldn't find them because they didn't exist, or they attributed these to people who said, "I never wrote that. That's not my work." They were making things. This was an AI report.
Blame AI. It was a liar's report. That's whoever lied.
Well, they said, give us a report with this, and AI just goes ahead. There have been lawyers who have been caught in this, who've cited cases in briefs that don't exist because they had AI write that stuff. Universities are facing some of that stuff. But, but this is the government study coming to a conclusion about our health based on either not just wrong information, but made up information.
Right. And maybe not even made up by humans.
Yeah.
Talk about Jewish space lasers. Anyway, that's it for this week.
I want to make two quick announcements. We lost a major Democratic consultant from Luzerne County, Ed Mitchell, who'd been around for about over a half a century, helping Democrats get elected or sometimes losing elections as well. But he was a dedicated Democrat. And before we go on, I want to wish my bride, Rhonda, a happy birthday.
All right. We will not ask.
She'll be another year younger on Monday.
21 again.
21 again.
All right, Rhonda.
That's it. Forever 21. Isn't that the name of it?
Forever 21. See you next week.
Let's see.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.